Okay. Oh, there we go. Okay, well, it's a delight to be here, and I want to tell you, and those of you who are followers of Yeshua, you know what I'm talking about when I say, you know, the Lord told us that he was going to judge us by every word we speak, so we can't speak carelessly. And I've learned over the 40 years that I've been following Yeshua to not speak carelessly, although at times I have to admit I slip. That probably only happens to this Jewish boy from New York, right? Only me? Yeah. So I say sincerely and from the heart, I'm really excited to be here because I recognize that Rabbi Jude and his wife Jen are sent by God to this place, and they have a real passion for the Lord, a vision to see the Lord's purposes accomplished, and a real love for all of you and for Greater Savannah. And so it's just a delight for me to come in behind them, alongside them, to help move forward the things that God has prepared for you. And so my purpose today is to encourage you, one, about the wonderful things that God is doing amongst our Jewish people around the world, but equally important to encourage you for what God wants to do through you right here in the Greater Savannah area. I'm also overjoyed to be here with my wife and best friend, Chantal. Would you just wave to the folk? She is not only my best friend, but she is partner in ministry. We are co-founders of a ministry called Reach Initiative International, a Messianic Jewish ministry. As Rabbi Jude said, we're primarily focused in ministering in the land of Israel, Belarus, which is in Eastern Europe, located between Russia and Poland, and India. And we also do work back here in North America, encouraging folks like you. We'll tell you more about that in a moment, but I also want to just thank the worship team for a wonderful time of leading us into praise and worship of our Lord. And you know, as the whole world celebrates the birth of a Jewish baby, born in the city of Bethlehem, a Jewish rabbi, isn't that cool that the whole world's celebrating the birth of a Jewish rabbi? Wow! Who is more than a rabbi, he is a prophet. He's more than a prophet, he's the Son of God, God in the flesh, who came as the Messiah of Israel and the Savior of all peoples. And we know that Yeshua has a great purpose on this earth. Sometimes it's called the Great Commission. His great purpose is that through us, he started with those 12 and those 72,000 years ago, and now he's depending upon us. Have you ever thought that God is depending upon us? Have you ever put it in those terms? Yes, God is depending upon us to be his mouth, the representation of his heart, his hands and his feet, to reach a world lost in darkness, to touch the hurting and the hopeless, and so on and so forth. He's depending upon us. And sometimes it's called the Great Commission, to make disciples of the people of Israel and the people of all nations. And when I was radically set free from the bondage of sin and death 40 years ago by the shed blood and resurrection of Yeshua, I committed my life to saying yes to the Lord. Whatever you want, whenever you want it, whatever the cost might be for me, my heart is inclined towards saying yes. Now, like everybody, I get weak sometimes, I lose faith sometimes, I get a little insecure, a little afraid sometimes. You know, that happens to all of us. But God is looking for hearts that are totally sold out to him. God is looking for not believers. He's not looking for believers. He is looking for followers. Yeshua said, if you want to be my disciple, you must take up your cross daily deny yourself and follow me. Follow me. Yeshua is looking for followers and disciples, and that's what you and I are all about. And I want to encourage you in that walk today. You know, the Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 12, that Yeshua declared, "I am the light of the world, and he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And I am convinced that no matter where you and I go, whether it be in our homes, in our workplace, in our schools or universities, in the grocery store, in Walmart, in the hair salon, wherever, in our neighborhoods, that Yeshua has declared that we are to be a light as well. Now, all of us have gone into a dark room, and when we turn on the light, we can see things that we didn't see before. And this is the way God has ordained our life, that by bowing the knee to serve Him and bowing the knee to serve others, Yeshua said, the greatest of all is the servant of all, bowing the knee to serve others, that we would bring light, that we would bring love and truth into the darkness that's around us. Now think of the world. We all can think of the gross darkness that's covering the world. Think of child trafficking all over, woman trafficking, child soldiers, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, physical abuse, child abuse. Today in America, in many parts of America, we don't know what a boy or a girl is. That's pretty dark. That's pretty dark. We don't know what right and wrong is. We redefine what love is. We don't know what love is because we don't know God. God is love. And so there's darkness all around us, there's gross darkness, and then there's, you know, darkness that isn't so in your face. There are people all around us that don't know the light of Yeshua. And Yeshua says that they are walking in darkness. They might be successful in their career. They might be the best students in the school or university. They may look good on the outside. They might even be kinder than some of us. But the spiritual reality, the kingdom reality, the ultimate reality, the eternal reality is that they are walking in darkness because there's only one light of life. And His name is Yeshua. His name is Yeshua. And so I want to read a verse to you out of Matthew. Yeshua declared this. You all know it. He said, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Instead, they put it on a lampstand so it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, that they may get in your presence and glorify your Father in heaven." The title of this message is Being a Light in a Dark Place. And I already named for you that almost everywhere you go, if you were to go out to dinner tonight, you would be in a dark place. Why? Because there will be a lot of people that are lost in darkness. I want to read this same scripture to you from a paraphrase version of the Bible called The Message. And I just think it really brings it to light. Listen to it again. "You are here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, if I make you light bearers, Yeshua says, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep an open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening to others, you'll prompt people to open with God, your generous Father in heaven. We have a commission. We have a job. And I'm not speaking to anyone here individually. I'm speaking about a general observation that I've made by through God giving me the privilege of ministering to many congregations throughout North America in churches and in different parts of the world. Too often, we who claim the name of Yeshua are over-focused upon me, my problems, myself. Too often we are more concerned about self-preservation than seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and giving ourselves away. We need to constantly, me first, take my spiritual temperature every day to make sure that my love for God is hot and my love for people is hot, because these are the two great commandments. These are the two great commandments. To love God with all that we are, this is complete surrender. Complete surrender to His Lordship, to His desires and dreams for our lives, to His way above our way, to His will above our will, and to love our neighbor as ourself. If we can get this right, then we're built on a strong foundation, because they are the two great commandments together with the Great Commission. These are foundations of our faith. And too often we're into the deep things of God and we're forgetting about the basics. We don't want to be making that mistake. When I played basketball in college, our coach would say, for those of you who know anything about basketball, I don't care if you guys can dribble through your legs behind your back and dunk after a triple flip behind. He said, if you didn't get the basics right, we're never going to be a winning team. And if you don't play together, see, we got to play together. We got to get the basics right. And we got to play together. You know, one of the reasons that we gather together, Hebrews 10 says, is though you have a responsibility to me and I have a responsibility to you and you to him and you to her, to provoke one another to love and good works. To provoke one another to love and good works. This is a primary reason why God tells us not to forsake the assembling of one another. Because sometimes when I'm down, you're going to light my fire. And when you're down, He's going to light your fire. And I'm not saying we shouldn't pray for one another's needs. I'm not saying we don't get into hard times. But I'm saying this. If we take... think of the most beautiful new car that you can imagine buying. You know, something like a Mercedes, you know, or a BMW. You get into the front seat there and you turn the ignition on, you can fly down the highway and get places, right? But if you get into this beautiful car and you sit in the trunk and you say, man, I'm boxed in, this thing don't work, it don't move, you know, people are going to say to you, you're a little cuckoo. Right? You don't drive cars from the trunk. It's the same thing in this walk with Yeshua. If we try to live this life focused primarily on me, myself, my problems, my needs, it's like driving this beautiful car from the trunk. We are not wired that way. We are wired to consistently bow the knee. A keynote scripture for our lives, me and my wife, and all of the disciples and ministers that God has privileged us to raise up around the world, more than 125. I'm talking about ministers, volunteer ministers, staff. We saw more than 400 people born again into the kingdom, half of them Jewish, just in Belarus in 12 years we lived there. Hallelujah. God wants to do the same here. Step by step, little by little, consistent, but we have to have it on our radar. Scripture that's influenced our lives and our ministry comes from Ephesians chapter 5, 1 and 2. It says, "Be imitators of God, therefore, and live a life of love." Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly beloved children, live a life of love. Live a life of love. This is what we are called to be imitators of our Yeshua, who lived a life of love, just as he loved us, and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering unto God. I think if we summarize the life of Yeshua, I think this would be a fair summary. Yeshua lived a life of sacrificial giving, sacrificial service for the benefit of others. Yeshua lived a lifestyle of sacrificial giving, sacrificial service for the benefit of others. And so we are supposed to be an imitator of him in all things, including this. In all things, including this. We're wired this way. Life is more significant. Life is more vibrant. Life is more fulfilling when we're doing the exact opposite of what our flesh wants. Our flesh wants me focused on Stuart, your needs, your problems, your ministry, your... And the Spirit, Yeshua, wants me focused on living a life of sacrificial giving, sacrificial serving for the benefit of others, all motivated by his amazing love in me and his amazing love motivating me to bow the knee over and over again when people are thankful, when people are not thankful, when people despise it, when people embrace it. Because you are the light of the world. You and me, we are the light of the world. And to truly love someone, we need to be concerned about their everyday life situations and problems. We're human. This is real. We need to be kind, caring. But not only concerned about their everyday life situations and problems, we need to be concerned about their relationship with God and their eternal destiny. So for those that are in darkness, we have to be very concerned about their eternal destiny, because we know they are walking a broad road to destruction. I once heard a Jewish atheist, kind of a comedian, say something like this. You know, it takes this Jewish kind of sense of humor, I guess. He's not a follower of Yeshua. He's an atheist. But this is what he said. He said, "I have concluded that Christians have to be the most hateful people on earth." And then he said, "The reason I say that is not what you expect. The reason I say that is because if they really believe in a heaven and hell, they should be working overtime to make sure the rest of us don't go to hell." And we're not talking about, hey, my grandson Jan is here too. I'm really happy. Good to have you here. Give me five. We're not talking about smashing people over the head with, you don't mind me smashing you once, do you? We're not talking about smashing people over the head with the Bible and the Word of God and being political. I did it more than once. And being political enemies. We're not talking about that. We're talking again about living a life in imitation of Yeshua. Serving, praying, giving, serving, praying, giving. I want to illustrate that in a few ways for you. My wife and I and our teams in Belarus and Israel, we've been loving on Holocaust survivors for 22 years. 22 years. It's one of my delights to just love on Holocaust survivors. And we have seen God do amazing things. But I want to have my wife come up and just share a little bit about that. Is this mic? Is this mic on? Okie doke. There we go. Thank
Shabbat
you.
Shalom. Before I share about the Holocaust survivors, I asked permission to my grandson if I could share a little part of his story. And because it's also a story of, you know, light coming into darkness, because he was raised for the first 8 years of his life in St. Petersburg in an orphanage, and because of his cerebral palsy, he was put in a crib and really never learned to walk. And it wasn't an easy place. He had lots of difficulties there. It was a really dark place. And God just brought him into my daughter's life, and she adopted him when he was 8 years old, and he started to walk. He started to be able to, go to school and learn many things. But the most important is, I believe, is that he loves the Lord. He got the knowledge of who God is, his heavenly Father that loves him and cares for him, saw him with darkness and send the rescue to him, and he's adopted into our family, and we're so proud of him and we love him so much. And it's life from the dead. It's light going in darkness. And we have many example of that with Holocaust survivors, but I want to share about Vera. When we came into her darkness, somebody had spoken to us and told us that we should visit her, so we sent our team to her apartment. And Vera was found after the Holocaust in an orphanage. She had no idea who her parents were. Was she was very, very young baby, and then eventually was adopted, was also rejected from this family that adopted her, and suffered. Her whole life was a history of suffering and rejection and hardship. And by the time our team went to her house, just before that, she had lost her son. Her son was murdered. This was the only living relative she had. He was murdered. And she was fighting cancer, and she was drinking herself to death because she had no hope. And actually, the only thing that was driving her to stay alive was that she wanted to murder the man that murdered her son. So she was filled with bitterness, with hatred. So when our beautiful, I call them sometimes angel of mercies, came into her house, the people that our staff that's serving the unbound people and Holocaust survivors, they saw this darkness, but they weren't afraid of it, and they started to shine their light, and they started to serve Vera. They started to help her, and they encouraged her to go to the doctor to get treatment. And sometimes she would return this kindness. She was very, you know, she could be very tough on them. And because she was so filled with bitterness, so that's what she was giving to people around her. And it was a process of a year and a half of our team going, loving her, serving her. And I remember them, you know, calling me and letting me know, you know, about her. And I would pray for her because it was such a sad story. And you knew God wanted, you know, to reach her heart. And then on New Year, I think about 14 years ago, on New Year, she was alone in her house, and she got a call from a member of our team. And Yulia asked her, "Yeah, what are you doing for New Year?" And she said, "Nothing, I'm all alone." And so Yulia said, "You're not alone, God's with you." And when Yulia said that to her, Vera saw her whole life, like pages of her life, all the sadness, all the trouble, all the rejection, all the darkness, flipping like a book, you know, very fast. And it opened up to a clean page with nothing. And she understood that now was a new beginning for her. And Vera gave her life to the Lord right there on New Year, sat at her piano because she was a professional jazz musician, and wrote a song right there and then about God's love, and was transformed. And Vera became, you know, part of our worship team. She served in the congregation. She was active in home group. She was also a great actress. She would do lots of, in our, you know, plays for holidays. She was always involved. And at 7 years old, somebody gave her a computer, and she discovered that she was an artist too. And so she started to make these amazing computer drawings, and they got the attention of the Jewish community. They started to do exhibition in all different cities, and even her stuff is in Moscow, in a gallery in Moscow. And so she became famous, and God opened this area where she was able to share a testimony. And many, many people were touched because of her. But it took the sacrifice of these faithful servants of the Lord that went to her, and for a year and a half, sometimes, you know, were returned evil for the kindness they were giving, but they understood, you know, the pain and the darkness that Vera was in, and they kept loving and loving and loving. And so it takes sacrifice, and it takes, you know, to sometimes time, a good amount of time. And we saw many Holocaust survivors over time having their, you know, their pain and the wall that keeps them from God start to crumble, because many of them tell us there's a wall between us and God, and that's the Holocaust. And you see that start to crumble, and they start allowing God in. We saw many of the survivors come to the Lord, the ones we serve in Belarus, and now we're serving in Israel. And so, and I think we have a video to show at our last retreat that we did. We do like a vacation retreat for Holocaust survivors in Belarus. We had about 50 of them come. We give them a, you know, like a wonderful time. They have classes. They have a concert. We also do games with them. And they have all kinds of activity. But we felt like the Lord wanted us to do an altar call, which we had never done in the 22 years that we were serving the survivors there. And but their hearts were prepared. And when there was an altar call done, 17 of them came to the Lord, 17 out of the 50. So we've seen many, many come, and they're growing in the Lord step by step. We even have one that's 99 years old and a half. He got saved at 94, and now he tells us, "I know that, you know, when I pass from this earth, I'm going into eternity with Yeshua. And I might, you know, it's not the end. It's only a passing." So.
Thank you. Before I show you this video, I just want to share with you our heart. The Lord commissioned us to serve as many Holocaust survivors as He would enable us to for as long as they live on this earth. And we have committed ourselves and our teams. And some of you are saying, "Wow, you must have a huge budget. You have 125, really more, volunteers and staff." Well, the majority of them are volunteers. But even staff, just to give you an idea, in Belarus, a full-time Messianic rabbi, $500 a month. That's to give you an idea of how far the American dollar goes in some of these countries. In India, where we have staff, $300 a month, full-time gospel worker, devoted to sharing the good news with Israeli seekers. I will show you a video on that a little bit later, but I just wanted you to get a perspective on that. because I want to share with you a deep burden on my heart right now before I show the video. God has opened up a huge door for us in the land of Israel to serve Holocaust survivors. We have favor with an organization that represents 3,000 Holocaust survivors throughout the nation of Israel. We are now in 4 different cities in Israel serving cities representing 500 Holocaust survivors. However, we do not have adequate resources and adequate staff to meet the needs of these survivors the way we need to and the way that they deserve. The trademark of our ministry, although we do vacation retreats, we do take the survivors to special excursions like the Dead Sea and mineral baths, which they love. We do organize feasts on Passover, Rosh Hashanah, Hanukkah, Sukkot, and Purim sometimes. We do all these things, but really the trademark of our ministry is one-on-one relationships that are developed over time, trust is built, and where they begin to welcome us in their homes. We're in the homes of almost 200 survivors visiting them. But there are hundreds more that we just cannot serve the way we need to. We understand that when we're in this kind of one-on-one relationship with the survivors, this gives Yeshua the best opportunity to open their hearts to His love and salvation, because we come in His name. We want to honor them. We want to help them with their practical needs. We want to bless them. We want to give them clothing and beds and things that they need, because many of them feel lonely and forgotten and are living in poverty. But we cannot stop there. We want them to know that Yeshua was with them when they suffered in the Holocaust. We want them to know that He loves them today and wants to be with them today and forever. So I want to ask you, when Rabbi Jude takes up the offering, would you please remember that need? We receive a great portion of our annual income in the month of December. It's just the way it goes for nonprofit ministries like ours. And so right now, did all of you get a copy of this newsletter? If you didn't get a copy, would you raise your hand and the usher will bring theirs. There's a lady here. Ushers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Can we get those newsletters into people's hands, please? Okay. You don't want to miss Lova's story. It's a story of a Holocaust survivor's tragic suffering. Hold those hands up one more time, please, and the ushers are coming around. Okay, there's a few people here. There's one back here, sir. Somebody here. 2 back there. Thank you. The lead story, and if those of you that are listening or watching online and you want to get in touch with us, you can go to reachii.org, our website, and we'll this story is actually coming out soon on email, but we can also send you this story just through the print if you let us know your address. A Holocaust survivor's story of love's redeeming power. It's the story of Holocaust survivor Lova, who suffered greatly during the Holocaust. But then, over time, we and our teams just kept bowing the knee, loving, serving, praying in the background. And Lova opened up to the redeeming love of Yeshua. And we tell this story of great redemption here. And when you open the newsletter, you'll also note that in December, until December 31st, we have a matching gift. That means every dollar you give is matched dollar for dollar until we reach our year-end goal of $160,000. So this is a special time to give into this ministry, because your gifts are doubled through the generosity of some of our partners. So please consider, when Jude takes the offering, that you're not just giving to a ministry, you're giving to Lova. You're giving to Lev, the 99-year-old Holocaust survivor. You're giving to those hundreds of survivors in Israel that if we don't meet our year-end goal in 2017, we just will not have the resources and be able to hire the staff that we need in Israel to serve hundreds more Holocaust survivors. So please keep that in mind and just follow the Lord in your giving as you get the opportunity to sow later. I want to show you a video from our vacation retreat. I had never done an altar call with Holocaust survivors. All of the more than 50 survivors that have come to the Lord over the years came one-on-one or in very small groups. This was the first time this year that I ever did an altar call or anybody on our team. And this is how God introduced it, by a Holocaust survivor named Yosef running forward during this vacation retreat to share this. Can you put Yosef's healing testimony up, please? Hallelujah.
Amen.
So could God have orchestrated this any better? This was my introduction to this altar call, you know? I mean, I didn't plan this. And so the next thing we do is we get this next video up, 17 Holocaust survivors praying. Check this out. So a supernatural healing introduces, it was actually two, another survivor came running up. Two supernatural healings, and then we take it from there. Turn the sound up, please. Hallelujah. This year alone, 27 survivors. Hallelujah. 27 Holocaust survivors that have suffered so much on this earth beyond any of us can imagine have received Yeshua's love, comfort, and opened their hearts to his salvation this year alone. And it took years and years of loving on them and serving them. Many more are close. Many more are close. And it's our desire to love every single one of them into the kingdom of God. Just bowing the knee, serving, helping with practical needs, cooking, cleaning, taking them to doctor's appointments, developing those relationships, and so on and so forth. And Chantal told you about Lev, this 99-year-old survivor. Can you imagine, I mean, get that he has such an assurance that he will not end at death.
Amen.
That he will be forever with Yeshua in eternity. And he went out of his way to speak that to us via video and in person. This is like, what can you say, right? What can you say? And so, huh?
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, so much. Thank you for allowing us to be your outstretched heart, your outstretched hands, your outstretched voice to serve these people, to serve these people. Thank you so much. You know, and there's people all around you. A few weeks ago, I was in Colorado. We were having dinner with one of our dear friends after I had ministered in a few churches and congregations there. And I have a little habit. You may want to pick up the same habit, because I want this to be practical in my life. I want this loving people to be practical. Not only Holocaust survivors, not only Israeli seekers that we also serve in India and Israel, but people everywhere, Jewish people and non-Jewish people everywhere I go. So I have this habit, if anybody serves me, whether it's the clerk in the grocery store or somebody cutting my hair or an Uber driver or a Lyft driver or a waiter or a waitress in the restaurant, at minimum, they get prayer inside of me, because I want to express my love. And honestly, you might find this strange, but when I don't do it, and then I realize I didn't do it, I ask God to forgive me. I say, Lord, forgive me and make up for my failure, and then I pray for that person right there and then. Because I want my love to be real. I want it to be alive. And so we were in the restaurant, and this young girl was serving us, and so I'm praying inside of myself, and as I pray inside of myself, I also, you know, I'm asking the Lord for words to speak. You know, how can I approach this person? And oftentimes I'll approach people with something like, have you heard any good news today? Or I'll approach people with something like, I have a little habit. I pray for people that serve me. And do you have anything that you would like us to pray for? Well, this young girl said, nobody ever asked me in my whole life for prayer. She was quite moved and quite touched. And so she mentioned a prayer request. And then I said, I'm going to also pray that you know the fullness of the love of God for you, because you're precious to Him and He really loves you. And He has a great future in your ahead of you. And she was just so moved. And then when she came back the next time, we found out that she was Jewish also. And when I suggested that she read the book of John, her heart was very open to it. And my friend Kathy met her again a week later to bring her a New Testament, and they are developing a relationship. And you can do all of this too. That's why I'm sharing it with you. It should be on our radar. Everywhere we go, we can bring light. We can bring love. We can bow the knee one more time. We can get out of ourselves. And you know what Kathy said? She said, it was such a delight for me to enter into Yeshua's heart for this girl. Because I thanked her for going out of her way. She said, no, it's just such a delight for me to enter into Yeshua's heart for this girl. And that's the people that we're called to be. We just, some of us are already in this. Some of us have been there, slipped away. Some of it's kind of new to us, but it's for all of us. It's for all of us. It's for all of us. And this is how, step by step, see, and God will surprise you. Sometimes He might heal. I didn't expect any healings at this vacation retreat for survivors. Wasn't praying for it. Didn't expect it. And sometimes He'll bring a healing, or He'll bring a word of knowledge. I have had waitresses cry right in front of me in the restaurant because the love of God, it's not my love. See, I say, Yeshua, your love, your love. And we do the same thing with Israeli seekers in India. We discovered that there's more than 40,000 young Israelis every year going to India, many of them seeking answers from gurus and mystics. And I don't know if any of you guys can relate to this, but I clearly heard the Holy Spirit that He wanted us to start a work in India to reach these young Israelis. And it was amazing to me, guys, maybe you can relate, that the voice of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach, often sounds like my wife's voice. Any of you guys relate? All right. And so, through my wife, the Lord led us to India, and we began our work in the beaches, and then we built a messianic training and outreach center called Sunrise that serves as a lighthouse in the midst of the darkness, because everywhere these Israelis travel, and they travel for 6 months to a year after the army, not 2 week vacations like we go, okay? And they're seeking. And everywhere they go, there are the new ages, there's the gurus, the yogis, the drug dealers, and the religious group, Chabad, the Jewish religious group. But there are very few of us, followers of Yeshua. And we have a vision to be wherever these Israelis travel in India and Nepal. They go to many locations. And sunrise is the beginning. Can you put on that movie video, Operation Yaakov, please? Loving Israelis into the kingdom of God, one at a time. Operation Yaakov. Turn up the sound, please. Most Israelis have never heard the gospel. We're doing our part to change that. Most Israelis have never heard the gospel. They haven't even had a chance. And we're doing our part to change that. And I want to extend another opportunity for you to partner with us. Pray for us and the hundreds of young Israelis that are hearing the good news for the first time through our teams. Secondly, if you're between 21 and 35-ish, you may want to join us at Sunrise. We have a number of opportunities for us. Get in touch through our website, reachii.org. And third, we sponsor Israeli believers to come out to Sunrise to minister because most of them don't have funding sources and can't afford it on their own. And for 1 month of training and outreach, we sponsor them at $1,600. $1,600 covers their plane fare. It covers their lodging and food, their ground transportation, and the training. And for 1 month, maybe some of you would like to partner with us in this regard too. I know that we here in America we are thinking about our year-end giving at this point in time, you know. And so I would appreciate it if you would consider this opportunity to partner with us as well. We are in the place in history where we have just seen a drop in terms of the end-time promised harvest of the Jewish people. It's just been the tip of the iceberg. It's about to explode, and we all want to be in on it full, don't we? That's why we're part of a Messianic Jewish congregation here in Savannah. Amen? Amen. I just want to call your attention to the fact that in your packet of literature, you have a card in here. And that card can facilitate your giving. You can give by check or credit card or cash. And if you just simply want to stay in touch with us, there's the this side of the card. We promise we will not share your name with anybody. That's a sacred trust between you and us if you simply want to stay informed. And we send emails and print literature through what the kids call snail mail, the United States Post Office, you know. So if you just want to stay in touch, this card can facilitate that. You can fill that out and put it back in the offering that Rabbi Jude will take. And if you want to give today this other side of the card, you can also fill out. That facilitates that as well. Okay. And thank you again for considering those opportunities. I want to close with a word of prayer. Then maybe later I'll show you one more picture. Before I close in this prayer, we have to make a little deal. You ready to make a little deal? They're saying, well, let's hear the deal first. You got smart people here, Jude. Here's the deal. When the conviction of God comes, it brings us to repentance in order that we get more fully aligned with Yeshua and his ways. I have come to recognize in my 40 years of walking with the Lord that the gift of conviction from heaven by his Spirit and by his word and bringing me to repentance is a great gift from God. It's a spiritual alignment. Okay? But I know that the devil likes to use these moments to either discourage or condemn. So here's the deal. If the conviction of God falls upon you now, you must make a decision. You must agree with me that you are going to reject the discouragement and the condemnation of the devil. Do we have a deal? Yes? This side? Middle? Deal? Okay, it's a good deal. You don't have to worry. It's a good deal. Yeah, you can play. This side, we're in on the deal?
Yes.
Okay. So here's how it goes. In Matthew 24, Yeshua said something that is frightening to me. Some translations say this: because of the increase of wickedness, the love of many will grow cold. In another place, another translation, it says the love of most will grow cold. And I understand that Yeshua was talking about his followers, his believers. And sometimes this can happen to us. I have seen in my own life where my love has grown cold. I was just focused. I could be like that priest and Levite, you know, who I was busy with the ministry of God, and I can pass the guy that's bleeding on the side of the road. I got to go do my thing. And I'm so glad when the Lord brings conviction into my life to say, whoa, this ain't the life that you want to live with me. You've gotten out of line. You've gotten out of whack here. And we all get distracted, and we all get confused, and we all get deceived to think we got to focus on me, myself, and I, and my needs, my preservation. And so I want to give you a chance if you need this spiritual alignment. Here's a sure sign. If we were to take the video of your life and show it in heaven of the past month or two, and in that video we rarely or never saw action on your part to serve the lost, to help the lost find Yeshua, this is a sign your love is growing cold. Or if we rarely see in your video prayer for those that are lost, it's a sign that your love is growing cold. Because Yeshua came above all reasons to seek and to save the lost. His love is burning for the lost.